He's about to get the Tatum treatment, where people expect a lot from a third overall pick and perhaps a franchise savior type player. And is he ready for it? Is he ready to be called out? Is he ready for people to slip out about four picks at an OTA? Because he's not Mac Jones and he's not Joe Milton. He's a third overall pick, and everybody has thrown bouquets and sung hosannas and hallelujahs since he got here. And they want to return on the potential. So that's, I think, is very interesting to watch unfold.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was Tommy Curran last week on WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in on a Tom E. Tuesday momentarily. It's also a Tier Tuesday. We tiered off all the cookout foods. You can see those at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We got a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. So stay tuned for that. And two more opportunities here on this show to win tickets to the Red Sox and Angels as part of a 2 for Tuesday. Your next chance comes less than a half an hour from now. You'll have chances on WEEI Afternoons as well. So stay tuned for it all day long here on WEEI. Joining us now, Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. What's up, Tommy Curran?
I would say pasta salad is something that should be included, and loaded baked potato salad should also be included in the barbecues. I know people are going to be very grill-focused, and I don't blame them because I am too, but I'd like to talk about a couple of those sides too when we start to tier those out.
Okay. Well, talk away. I think we had pasta.
We had like right below burgers, dogs, beer. So yep, we did have that pretty high.
We didn't have a loaded potato salad.
No.
You know what?
Standard.
And I say, if we're going to have an active barbecue, you know, we're going to be the kids doing the hacky sack, and my kids are always whipping dice up in the air and waiting for them to bounce off the table, and there's drinking involved. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want the loaded baked potato salad.
Right.
You don't want too many carbs. You want to keep it a little bit lighter.
Oh,
but
I see.
If it's a more laconic type of barbecue, then you'd want that in there. But I would say pork butt or whatever the burnt ends.
Ooh, burnt ends.
Ooh, burnt
sure,
ends.
Wow.
Sure.
This is not a laconic barbecue whatsoever.
If you get somebody who's handy behind the grill and they can do you some burnt ends and with a little flamethrower.
Nice. What are you putting on the dog there, Curran?
I'm going to go ketchup and mustard. Nice. I'm going to have a lot of them, too. And I might not even go bun. I'll just take them straight.
just suck it right down.
Onto the football. Nice. Inevitably, yes, something had to go wrong.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of the football, what are your early impressions of Efton Chisholm III and some of the excitement for an undrafted rookie wide receiver?
Is he Braxton Berrios? Or is he Danny Amendola? Or is he Julian Edelman?
Hmm.
He is quick. He is quick in a phone booth type player. Does not have what you would look at as, you know, what Edelman had, which was long speed that I've seen yet. I mean, the poor fellow's only, you know, been out there one day for me to observe. But he doesn't have that long speed. But, you know, Braxton Berrios was not a bad player. He continues to not be a bad player in the National Football League. So if he can be something like that, that would be great. I'm interested to see what he can lend, because to me, and we're going to talk about this on Early Edition this evening, is DeMario Douglas a player who's going to be featured in this offense? I believe he will be. I believe he'll have every opportunity to be a 100-120 look guy, meaning see the ball coming to him, whether it be through targets or runs over the course of 16 games, a lot. So can he hold up at 175, 180 pounds? And if he doesn't, who do you have for depth behind him who can step into that water bug underneath role? And I would think that Chisholm would be the next guy there that you would look at as really quick. I think Kyle Williams, the rookie, does certainly look like more of an X than an inside guy, even though he's a little smaller. But I think that's going to be fun to watch unfold, because we actually have familiarity with what Josh McDaniels likes to do, and we understand what the roles are in the offense because we've seen them for so long. So we can say, is this guy going to be that guy? And there's a direct comp.
What should we expect for a timetable for Steph Diggs? And more specifically, is week one, in your mind, from what you're hearing anyway, in play?
And I'm only basically going on what we've observed from Diggs himself and the indications that he's given and his trainer has given. I would say it's probably tentatively in play, I would say. And do not cut this, put this out there. Curran says,
Turk, put it up there.
Good.
I am just basing this totally on Steph Diggs. I haven't spoken to anybody because I don't think availability for week one right now is something that's on the table for anybody looking at things. It's how is he, will he be available and in what capacity for any of training camp? And then if he can't do training camp, then is that doing him a disservice by putting him on the field in week one? So to me, I'd be optimistic, but I'd be guessing if I said that I thought he would be out there week one.
What kind of like leader and teammate do you think Drake May is and will be? Because I feel like, you know, we talk a lot about on the field stuff, and with these quarterbacks, there's been such a wide range post Tom Brady of like on field success, but just how they're viewed in the locker room. That's obviously a position that sort of is forced into being a leader.
Yeah.
And so whether it was Cam or Mac or Bailey Zappi or Brissett or whatever else, how do you see Drake May filling those shoes?
I think he's very, very well respected and liked because he is such a regular guy. There's no pretense to him. There's no prettiness to him. There's a grittiness to him, a nice rhyme there. To me, I think that his upbringing as having grown up in an athletic family with a dad who played professional football and high-level college football, brothers who played, he just understands the dynamic of a locker room and a group male atmosphere, for lack of a better word, that has that dynamic to it. So I think that he's excellent in that capacity. What I'll be interested to see is when you looked at Brady or Bledsoe, they were standard bearers for being able to carry the message of the team to the media in different ways. I'll never forget Brady in 2005 after Marty Schottenheimer said in the post game after a San Diego Chargers win over the Patriots, hey man, they've got so many injuries over there. At some point it has to break. And that was a team, the Patriots had just won two consecutive Super Bowls. It was kind of innocuous. Brady got to the podium on that Wednesday and he said, he shouldn't talk about our team. The nerve of him to talk about our team. We're fine. We don't need sympathy. And I'm paraphrasing. We don't need the sympathy from Marty Schottenheimer or excuses made for us. It was amazing. And it was interesting to see. How will Drake May embrace that kind of messaging? How will he embrace being the person who is not just the megaphone for whatever message Vrabel is sending, but also a megaphone for how he wants his locker room to approach things? You know, nowadays, I think that especially with the adversity the Patriots locker room felt last year and the scrutiny that it felt, they felt victimized, villainized, persecuted by the media. And I don't know how May felt about it, but he's going to have to deal with us on a regular basis, week in and week out. Is he going to be prickly? Is he going to be eye-rolly? Is he going to be able to rise above it the way Brady would or Bledsoe would, who were amazing at the podium? So that remains to be seen. There's different types of leadership in the locker room. He's going to be beloved. He's just that kind of kid, I think. But how will he be in sending forth the message of the team when it's being persecuted and beaten up?
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We certainly dabbled in the discussion last week of the four interceptions for Drake May. What did you think of the discussion that kind of took on a life of its own with Drake May heading into year two with all the picks? What'd you think from afar of the conversation?
It's just really interesting in that, you know, some people were excusing of, hey, four picks, who cares, you know, whatever. But I think more people were embracing of the notion that you can't, if you're going to have a practice well. I don't think he got killed. I don't think it was extreme. I don't think that it, honestly, Jonesy, I don't think that there was as ridiculous an outcry and panic that as the practice was unfolding, I thought might exist. I thought it was much more measured a response on your shows, on the other station shows, on our shows, that lent a little bit of, you know, what's the word there? It was dignified, ain't the right word, but it's something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's not us.
People were measured in their response.
Yeah, measured. There you go.
But it opened up the conversation that needs to be had, which you guys let in with that sound. He's going to get crap for a four-pick OTA in May. Don't be a baby about it. Don't say, he's going to roll over me. It's very much a Tatum. I like that. Do you guys agree with that? It's a Tatum scrutiny. Tatum has everything scrutinized, mm-hmm. And has had it for several years now. And it's probably wearying. And May is about to get it probably even more intensely than Tatum.
Well, yeah, probably. I think it's football lends to that. And also just the state of the other teams right now. It's like suddenly after back-to-back four-win seasons with all the changes that they've made combined with the Red Sox right now stink, the Bruins are terrible, and Tatum's out for the year. It seems like all eyes are certainly not only back on the Patriots, but like the expectation for the team has now been elevated higher than maybe it should be.
And I think that's really interesting because, you know, Benjamin Solak, who works at ESPN, he's a writer. I think he's fun, good writer, does a lot of analytics. He said something today or on a podcast that was retweeted by Savage Sports, who does a lot of cataloging. What the hell is that
aggravating.
Word?
Aggregating. Aggregating. Aggravating or aggregating, yes.
Did you say aggravating?
Yeah.
But Benjamin Solak kind of drew the parallel to saying that, boy, could Drake May be better than Jaden Daniels this year? Because when you look at what he accomplished and the adversity that he faced, it was astounding what Drake May accomplished. And that's the way the conversation is going to head this year. You know, dark horse MVP candidate, 8-1 odds, Drake May. It's going to be there. And how will he play with a much more structured offense with constraints? Because in chaos, he would flourish, whether it be on scrambles, moving around and completing balls. And also the expectations were low in that if you throw a pick at the end of a game in which you have an opportunity to win, people are like, oh, well, he's 21. He's just trying to make a play. Team stinks. Who cares? It's going to be totally different this year. So how does he play with the structure, the expectation, the coaching expectation? So I think that's a really interesting thing to watch unfold for him as well. Is it's not just the expectations, it's the expectation that he improves. It's the expectation that he'd be unbelievable. He's just going to be a dark horse darling candidate for massive improvement.
Tom, pretty much every week we ask you about the ongoing Bill Belichick saga. The latest, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, really does characterize Bill as distracted at the tail end of his tenure in New England, red pants at training camp, hotel rooms leading up to games, never mind trousing around on ring cam videos, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think Bill was distracted in 2023?
I don't think it had the same intensity of attention that Bill Belichick from 2000 through 2019 had. No. So the level of attention to detail probably was not the same. So I would distracted to you and me. I mean, I'm a distracted guy. Probably wasn't that level. But no, his level of intensity was not the same. And I think that was borne out in the drafting, the free agent signings, the coaching and succession plans, the easy outs in terms of hiring for whether it be offensive coordinator or scouting or whatever. I think Bill very much got to a point where when he articulated that, what do you think? Why should fans have an expectation of success this year opposed to him by Mike Reese at the 2023 owners meetings? And Bill said the last 25 years, there was very much a kind of resting on his laurels and his reputation. And well, what's the worst that can happen here? I'm Bill Belichick.
So, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be one and done in North Carolina. I know some are speculating whether he even makes it to the season. There's like a buyout coming up on June 1st, or there's a potential there. I think he coaches
this
season.
Right.
Yeah, it's coming up. I think it's one and done. Do you have any prediction on how long he lasts with North Carolina?
I would tend to agree with you, but it would be percentage type
yep.
things. What's the likelihood? I mean, are they going to be good? I just don't think they're going to, and what do I know about ACC friggin' football, but I just don't think that they're going to be, you know, landmark improvement, because they're a totally different kind of player that you're dealing with. I mean, these are kids who were just getting off a bus last year, some of them, to go to school. They're not adults. So how is that going to go? I would imagine it probably is more likely one and done than a five-year tenure.
All right. He's Tommy Curran every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. Tommy Tuesday with us. Check him out on Early Edition tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right. Tommy Curran joining us here every Tuesday high noon on Jones and Keefe. The Benjamin Solak thing. I read this morning.
There's a lot in there.
It's like 100.
It's a lengthy piece.
Is that what it is? Like 100 items on 100 days until training camp or something like that?
Yeah,
the start
days,
of the regular season.
Things to know and predictions.
Okay, thank you. He says, here's something I struggle to put into words. He said, Jaden Daniels had a historically productive rookie quarterback season. The Commanders fan base and team brass should feel confident and inspired about the future of the position. However, I'm still as, if not more, impressed by how well Drake May played on that terrible Patriots offense last season. Statistically, he didn't hold a candle, but degree of difficulty, May was playing a completely different sport. I'll put it this way and hope that Metropolitan D.C. doesn't come from my head. Patriots fans should feel as confident and inspired about their future at quarterback as Commanders fans do right now. Your thoughts on that, Keith?
I mean, I'm not as optimistic. Obviously, I like Drake May. I like the improvements that they have made. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think Jaden Daniels hit the ground running, was surrounded by better pieces, and even in real time, we weren't really sure about that. But just Terry McLaurin, Cliff Kingsbury was like a better setup for him.
Right, but I agree. Drake May had a much higher degree of difficulty nothing around him. Let's not pretend like Jaden Daniels had a ton around
That's
him.
That's what I'm
either.
Saying.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I agree.
All right, the corpse of Austin Ekeler and Zach Ertz, he got something out of. And Terry McLaurin, still better than anything that the Patriots currently have.
For sure.
But that was a 4-win team, and he really turned them around. Like we talked about certain quarterbacks, when you watch the offense play, you're like, all right, this guy's good, but he's not the best player on their offense. Drake May is going to have to be the best player, just like Jaden Daniels was the best player on the Commanders offense. So, I mean, if he has a season like Jaden Daniels, I'll be thrilled.
Same.
Yeah.
And I just, Jaden Daniels was so good. And I preferred Drake May in the draft to Jaden Daniels. And I still feel very good about Drake May. I mean, that to me is a bridge too far, but it's interesting from Benjamin Solak, highlighted by Tommy Curran here today on Jones and Keefe. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY, get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Use the rewind feature. You can hear the full interview as well as the full show here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls. We got a Kiefer Madness at 12:45, so stay tuned for it. And more Red Sox thoughts. Season feels like it's already trending towards being over, but there are still games to go see at Fenway Park if you want to go see the Red Sox and Angels on June 3rd. Another opportunity to do so on 2 for Tuesday.
2-2. Bases loaded. One-run game. The pitch is swung on and popped up into right field. Frelick coming on. He's there to make the play, and the ball game is over. On this Memorial Day, the Red Sox frustrations continue. They leave them loaded in the bottom of the ninth inning. Only two runs across. Sox struggle again with runners in scoring position, and they once again waste a dominant Garrett Crochet start.
Kind of feels like the Red Sox season is, at best, teetering, and at worst, already over. We'll get into what's wrong with this baseball team. I thought Rob Refsnyder summed it up pretty well.
Kind of nailed it.
He'll, and that's a 10-plus year big league veteran. I know he's the bench player on this team, but he's a guy who's seen some stuff, and he's calling the team out. We'll get to it in just a moment. We got a Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45, but right now, another pair of tickets to give away, 2 for Tuesday.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you will score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Angels June 3rd, Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. Give the code word. You'll get a pair of tickets. Red Sox, Angels, June 3rd, Fenway Park, 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI. One more chance on Jones and Keefe about an hour from now. A couple of opportunities on WEEI Afternoons, and get in there, because this is the final 2 for Tuesday of 2025. So good luck there. How panicked should we be about the Red Sox, Keith?
Especially I think a good amount. Yeah. Honestly, a good amount, because there's one thing about, I got to be patient, it's a long season, but it's like we've seen this team now for weeks and weeks and weeks being more of the same. So, like, why would any of that change? And, oh, by the way, one of your two most consistent hitters is now out for an extended period.
That, to me, is the big difference.
Yeah, Bregman's out.
All right, they win two, they lose three. They win three, they lose one. They teeter-totter back and forth around 500 all year long. Right now, yeah. They're two games below. It is 2 months in, but if Bregman's playing and Meyer's up, you're like, all right, they still have time to figure
something's
it out.
Something's there.
With Bregman sidelined for what we think is going to be 10-ish weeks.
Ugh, yeah, that's a lot of games.
They are bordering on season over, and they can't dig their
way
out.
Should we put them on the Celtics panic meter?
Yeah.
1 to 100?
Well, Keith already did that earlier. I actually
79.
I avoided giving a number.
I put him at 79, and that might be low.
I was going to say 88. 88. Like real
panicky. Michael Irvin, 88.
We should be real panicky with this team.
Yeah, how can you not be? They don't win the Garrett Crochet starts, right? They're 500 in Garrett Crochet starts.
Some of them. Yeah, not enough.
He has an ERA of 2, and the team is 6-6 in his starts. So you're not even winning those. The rest of the rotation is like, you know, fingers crossed every time they're out there. Bregman's now hurt. You have a bunch of guys playing out of position. The lineup yesterday was a joke, and that's probably what the lineup is going to be, give or take, for a while. I mean, if he's out 10 weeks, that's 60 games.
If only they had a top prospect in AAA to call.
They have the best minor league player in baseball, and they won't call him up.
Nope.
They're like, he's hitting rockets down in Worcester, but we'll let him stay down there.
We don't want to mess. We don't want to mess with Devers. He's our DH.
Where would we play Willie McGee?
We're not going to mess with Devers, and we're not. Roman Anthony's so locked in AAA, let's not touch him either.
It's like, well, where can Roman Anthony play? Ask him. Ask him where he wants to play and give him that position.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that.
Right.
Figure out the rest of it.
You want to manage? You could take Cora's job. Like, you know,
please.
Like, you can do whatever you
want.
Roman Anthony. Yeah.
Go ahead. Because Jaron Duran already plays multiple positions in the outfield. Christian Campbell already plays multiple positions, and you're trying to give him a new one. Seidon Rafaela can play every position. Marcelo Meyer has said he'll play every position. So you have Rafael Devers, who doesn't want to play any position now. A bunch of guys who are willing to do whatever it takes for the team. I got a guy, Trevor Story, who's an automatic out. He's one of the big problems for this team.
Yeah.
Because if he was any good, that changes things. Reds are very high, one of your highest paid players on the team, is supposed to be at his peak like an all-star shortstop. And he's one of the worst players in baseball right now.
Yeah, we had the number
earlier. It's not hyperbole.
Hang on.
He's one of the worst players in baseball.
Offensive war. This isn't even factoring in his defense, which has been subpar.
Yep.
Offensive war. Someone sent us this earlier. He's 154 out of 166. Offensive war.
Like, please. So there's eight guys out in baseball, and they know who they are, mm-hmm. who are worse than Trevor Story. It feels like
that's crazy because he could have had 15 hits in the row and then gone 0 for 99 and would still be hitting the same.
I was fact checking myself, by the way.
Wait,
say that again.
Yeah. So if he had 15 hits in a row and then went 0 for 99, he would have the same amount of hits and that same amount of bats. He's like 15 for 114.
Honestly, I don't know.
Should
that.
We
is
ask
that the Knicks stat of the
should
day?
Should we ask for it a third time, or are we going to be
more? No, confused? I can't.
One more.
The math makes sense.
Give him another chance. One more time.
I'm sure it does.
So he's like 15 for 114.
Yeah.
So if he had 15 hits in the row and then went 0 for 99 since that 15th hit,
I actually
it'd be the same.
Try. Okay, I get it. I don't know why can't you just say 15 for 114?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but I'm just like, he could have gone 100 at bats without a hit, and he basically be the same.
But, like, he shouldn't be playing every day.
No.
He's that bad.
Yeah.
Or, if you need to, play him at second. But now you have this extra injury. So, you have two guys that ideally were going to hit 3-4 to start the season. Out.
Yeah.
So, your cleanup hitter had to get moved down anyway because he stunk, and now he's hurt. So, he's out for the year. And now Bregman's banged up. Now, the mess they're in right now, you really can't put on injury.
No.
Because Casas was all projected. I'm not saying you are or anybody else is yet. But I'm just saying the Bregman injury, that sounds terrible. You're like, all right, how do they dig themselves out? They weren't able to dig themselves out of it with him playing all-star third base.
Right.
So now you're left with a lineup where Carlos Narvaez, who I love, is batting third.
No, you love him more than anybody.
Guy could be an all-star. And he should be an all-star.
He's now – I saw it in ESPN was doing a roundup of awards. He was second in rookie of the year.
Second rookie of the
and
year.
You have him on the all-star team.
He might
– regardless, should not be hitting third, though.
Narvaez might finish fourth on the team rookie of the year if they figure this thing out.
That's true. They just called up their best guys.
They get Roman Anthony up here.
That's a good point.
But, like, Roman Anthony's no longer just, like, icing on the cake. He's no longer just, like, a guy that you add on to a great team. It's like, no, you need to be the reason why this team turns around now.
You said it
it's
earlier.
It's a lot of pressure to put on these
guys. You said it earlier. We went into the year going, Campbell, Meyer, Anthony. Hopefully are in-season additions to supplement what is a very good baseball team, and it kicks them into a higher gear.
No, they are break glass in case of emergency. Here comes Robert Anthony.
Now you need them to save the season.
Yep.
Is now where the Red Sox are at.
It's teetering.
And by the way, I mean, don't listen to us. Here's Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah.
Who? Bench player on the team. I get it. Only plays against lefties. Though.
Crushes them.
But, you know, he's 34 years old. He's been in the bigs 10-plus years. A veteran voice in the clubhouse. Here's how he would summarize the team, and I would co-sign.
Promise of kind of like a blueprint for what you guys need to be doing.
We're still lost. I mean, I don't really care. I don't really care about promise, and I just we lost.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Tired of losing. Tired of losing close games. We just need to figure it out and win some games. Bottom line.
Yeah, particularly, you know, when Garrett is throwing like that, you know, does that amplify the frustration?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in the game. We feel like every time he goes on the mound, it's a great thing for us. Such a competitor. Everyone loves him. It's just disappointing that we can't come through for him. We just got to figure out. Like you said, there's some good at-bats here and there, and then, but we're just not getting the job done. It's not for lack of effort or, work ethic, game planning. It's just, we're not doing it. We suck right now. We got to just be better.
Like, that's
kind of nailed it. I mean, where do you argue?
That is the slogan of the Red Sox 2025 season. We suck right now. Dash Rob Refsnyder. I mean, that summarizes the year right there. And it's just if you don't think the team is teetering or you think we're being hyperbolic,
we suck right now.
I mean, that's Rob Refsnyder, the player on the Red Sox.
Well, no, they suck right now. So the team that they just split with. Right, at Baltimore?
The Orioles.
Fired their manager not that long ago.
Yeah, no, they suck too.
Are wildly underachieving, yep. And you just split with them. And now, and then you open up the next series with a loss. Another team that's not great by any stretch. So that was the other thing that was alarming about this team when you're asking like what the panic meter or concern meter would be. I don't know where it checks out now, but for a while, they had the easiest schedule to start the year. They've played a bunch of the scrub teams already.
Yeah. No, so, April, they basically had, I think they had the easiest schedule in baseball.
Yeah,
in April.
So yeah. I don't even know, like it might still be percentage points pretty close to one of the easiest schedules thus far, but they haven't, like a lot of their tougher series are still coming up. So if you aren't able to feast off of this, like I don't like your chances to be able to turn it around.
Me neither. Meanwhile, who's going to play third base? Meyer has played some third base and some short. I mean, I don't know where I'd prefer him. Third, second, ideally Story out of there and he's playing shortstop. Rafael Devers should be knocking people out of the way.
He's
volunteering
got no
to play third base.
He's all
and
done.
the guy can't be bothered. He threw a hissy fit, left in spring training, tears in his eyes, wanted to like considered a trade. Do you remember this report from Sean McAdam?
Yeah.
Considered asking for a trade because he was so upset. They brought in Bregman and moved him off of third base. They wouldn't let him compete for his job.
Yeah.
Now, and he's raking, but now third base is open. You already declined on first. You refused to go to first. They told you to hide your glove, lose your glove. Now third base is open. There's an opportunity for you to go back and get the job that you so badly wanted that you left in a huff in spring training. And you can't be bothered to do it. Like Devers, to me, as much criticism as we want to give to Cora and as much as Devers is hitting, is still the face of the biggest problems on this team. Guys.
Yeah, it's bizarre because he's one of the few guys hitting.
He's one of the few guys producing. I mean, he won you a game over the weekend. He had another 8 RBIs on Friday, so he's been tearing the cover off the ball. I'm not arguing with that. He's the face of this team's issues. Like, they all care about themselves. They don't care about the team. They're not doing what's best for the team, and they're not winning games because of it. He's still the face of it.
Well, it's funny because he had third base taken away from him, and now he won't take it back. It's like a little kid. You're like, all right, you need to share, so you take the toy away from him, and then a few minutes later, you're like, do you want to play with this toy now? They're like, no.
You cried about it
a second ago. You were so desperate to play with this thing a minute ago. Now we're giving it back to you, and you don't want it? It's like, no. And so that's sort of what Devers is doing. But it almost doesn't matter because it went so poorly about the first base thing with Breslow that Breslow's probably afraid to go ask him. John Henry's like, I already flew out once. That was like talking to a brick wall. And then Alex Cora's like, I'm on your side anyway, Devers. I'm not going to ask you to do anything you don't want to do.
I said this earlier.
He's probably not even been asked.
No, I don't think he has been asked. But just like Henry flew to him in Kansas City, he should have flown to John Henry after Alex Bregman got hurt.
No.
He should have gone and found John Henry and been like, I'm your third baseman. I want
he's like,
been volunteering.
You guys embarrassed me and I'm not gonna play ball. I'm not gonna help the team with this. I get paid the exact same to just hit four times a game as I do to go back out there after you shamed me. So I'm not doing it.
Okay. And look, I don't think he's a good third baseman.
He's not.
But in this case, he should be volunteering to do it.
Is he better than David Hamilton? Because right now, right now, Meyer is playing third.
Yeah.
But he really should be playing second because Trevor Story is so ineffective. So then if you're like, should be playing short. Yeah. You're right. So now you're like, all right, who's playing third? Like Hamilton or Romy Gonzalez or something like that? Like
Abraham Toro? Got to get Toro in there.
That's his natural spot, I think. Because he's been playing out of position at first.
I mean, it's just...
So now it's like, I was definitely of the don't even bother with Devers at first, like figure it out.
Okay.
Like, but now this is different. Like, okay, two hot corners, including the position that he played.
So now
your lineup is a joke.
Me and you disagreed on first, but I at least got your stance on first.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with it, but I got it.
That's all we can ask.
How do you defend Rafael Devers on this one?
You can't.
How do you do it?
Yeah,
it's
can't.
Where he wanted to play. It's now wide open and he won't do it. 617-779-7937. What's wrong with the Red Sox? Where's Cora factor into it? Where's Devers on the list? Why won't they call up Roman Anthony? A lot to get to here on Jones and Keefe. Oh, by the way, the manager, Alex Cora, normally on Wednesdays on WEEI Afternoons.
Today.
He'll be on today
since
they have a day game tomorrow, 3:15 with WEEI Afternoons. Don't miss it. Meanwhile, Tuesday at 12:45 means it's time for the Madness, Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
To be able to poop on a car like that was impressive, but it was disgusting at the same sense.
The 44-year-old sits on the hood. We're not showing the most graphic part of the video, including when she appeared to defecate on the car.
A Delaware County woman is facing multiple charges after she is seen defecating on a car hood.
A sight far from impeccable of broken car mirrors and windshield.
All right, here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we have a first, I believe a Kiefer Madness first in all the years.
I mean, this is a decade plus of Kiefer Madni, and this is a first.
And so most Kiefer Madni, Jones, as you know, involve like a news story of something crazy, right?
Yeah.
How often, though, has the madness been about the news story itself? Just the actual news story is the news.
Based on your setup, one time. This will be the first
time. This time. Yeah, I think this time.
Okay,
So we go to Albany, New York.
Oh, wow.
That's right, the state capital.
Nice.
One of the great state capitals, right smack dab in the middle there of the great state of New York.
Yeah, when you think New York, you think Albany.
And so we cut to Albany. I think it's CBS 6. You have two anchors.
Okay.
Here, getting ready to break down the news for you. It is two female anchors. That part is going to be important. I don't know, Keith, easy.
Nice.
Let's not need to do that. But it's important right off the rip. And let's find out what's going on.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Olivia Jaquith.
And I'm Julia Dunn. We do have some breaking news this morning. Literally.
Yes.
Olivia's water has broke.
Co-anchor's water broke. You just perked up, Jones.
Yeah.
Now, if you worked
Get
as
the
like,
janitor out here.
If you were like a PA, for example, a production assistant.
Yeah, sure.
Would you be more or less interested in the news that day? Would you be like, yes? Can I help you?
Yeah. You need a man on the scene?
Yeah, I did pass health class in high school. If you need any help at all. Like, she's like, get away. I'm fine. But so you'll notice there's two of it, and they start out the day by being like, her water broke.
Yep.
And she's just like smiling like, uh-huh.
Yeah, just making it about herself.
And I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here to deliver these news.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yes.
Olivia's water has broke.
That's right.
And she is anchoring the news now in active labor.
Early labor.
We've been doing the contract. She's now, timing her contractions.
We'll see. I'm going to pay attention.
What, 2 minutes apart?
this lady's pissed. And so she's trying to do it in like a way where it's like, hey, we have breaking news. Literally, she's still here in active labor.
And
she's
early
like,
labor.
She's like, yeah, really, it's not a big deal. Early she's labor. Like, we're timing the contractions, lady. So you get a vibe, you get a sense of this, the anchor of that who is not pregnant, mm-hmm. about to give birth. So, Joe, you can see on the screen, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, the woman on the left is pissed.
Yeah.
The woman on the right is perhaps minutes away from childbirth.
Yeah, and she's gritting right through it.
She's like, yeah, she's here like, I am.
Not a big deal.
This lady's like, she's got to get out of here.
Honestly,
I don't want this. She's like mortified that this is going on.
What a sad state for the news. I mean, not to have a larger discussion about media, but you can't. You got nobody else to get in there on the set.
Nope.
You got no backups, no skeleton crew? This lady's just going to sit there and have a kid?
The Weekend guy's like, come on, get her out of there. I'm taking over the second she goes on maternity.
This is my moment.
No. Maybe she hates that guy.
Yeah,
maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that is what it is.
She's like, I'm not giving him a chance to take my job.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone for a couple months. I got to stay. I got to work up until the very last day.
No. There was one, but it's been a few minutes since then, so we're still in good shape.
Her decision to stay on the desk, by the way.
Look at what it says. Days past due date.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I know. So we're thinking
maybe
today.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I'll stay on the desk for as long as I possibly can, but if I disappear...
We're so happy for you. She's 2 days overdue, so she wants this baby.
We're so happy for you. Couldn't have been faker. Could not have been faker.
Classic.
She's 2 days past due. So her due date was 2 days earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I just got to give the news. I got to talk about the flea market down the street here.
Meanwhile,
what's the Albany news?
Meanwhile, the other chick is just, she wants the desk to herself.
Yeah, one. She's been like,
she's 2 days. 2 days I've been having to deal with this lady.
Guys, I could do this.
Squawking nonstop. I could do this.
I would have planned my vacation a little differently.
Will you let me handle this?
No. She's like, I'm not going anywhere.
That's right.
Baby out. But.
All right, so if my baby does come today, Craig, how's the weather looking?
Not so great. And if I have to run off the set, that means I'm hoisting Olivia over my shoulders and taking her to the transportation.
Craig, all right, hero.
Craig, you're doing too much,
Craig. First of all, terrible idea to lift a pregnant lady over your shoulders. You could squish the baby. That's an insane way to transport her. This guy, and if you saw this guy, there's no way he's picking her up.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Enough out of you, Craig.
He's like, if I have to play hero, which is, I'd be no stranger to, then that's where I am.
Like, I'll poke my head right in there. Like, could you, Craig? Could you not?
I've delivered six babies. So you have it, Craig.
We don't have to call HR on you again, Craig. Like, come
hoisting
on.
Olivia over my shoulders and taking her to the transportation, awaiting in the parking lot off to the hospital.
So now they do a little bit of a time jump. So then he gives the weather or whatever.
Twitch chat is surmising Craig is the father.
Craig, I wouldn't rule out.
Which, more breaking news.
A lot of workplace stuff going on. Yeah. So they continue. So they come back from a commercial break and they reset. So,
I mean, now's a good time as ever to have a coffee.
A water break?
A water break.
That's okay. Right. We'll
been there, done that.
Play him off. Play him off.
Welcome to the CW 15. Thanks for joining us. I'm Julia Dunn.
And I'm Olivia Jake with our other top story this morning.
Olivia's
I'm officially
water.
In early labor.
Yeah, Olivia's water broke, and she's still here. She's been doing the entire show.
Yeah, we heard.
She's pissed. She's
was
pissed.
Was there real news this day, or is this all they talk about?
I think, this is a pretty big deal. Like, if Jones is about to give birth, I would talk about it quite a bit. I would have a hard time.
I would hope he'd be in the hospital, though.
Yeah. Well, so would I. And I would be like the other lady. I'd be like, and here he is.
Here he
still
is.
Here.
Do not move out of that chair.
Shouldn't be here.
Don't sit in another chair, Jones. That's what. Stay in that chair.
Soaked.
Yeah.
This is her decision to do this.
Her decision.
I'd rather be at work than at the hospital. So.
Something you'll never hear come out of my mouth. Well, I mean, I guess if it's work or the hospital, I'd rather be at work.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, you
gotta
go. After we're done with
the time here.
After we're done with this show, you should probably go.
All right. So these two ladies clearly hate each other.
After we're done, you should go. She's like, after you read your stupid news report, you need to go.
Yeah, this is my show.
How about that lady? She really stepped in. She's like, you'll never hear me say that. Well, actually, if it's work or the hospital, I guess I'd rather be at work than in a great deal of pain or injured. Because she's like, what? So you'd rather be in the hospital than at work? How much you hate your job, lady?
Right, bosses are watching.
She's shook. She is shooketh at this point. Mm.
That's thank you, guys.
Oh, yay. Olivia.
I'll do my best.
High
which
five,
means
girl. Whole
maybe?
Show. Look at that.
The
three
end
and
of the
a
show.
Half. 3 hours of news.
That's right.
In contractions. I think that's a first for CBS 6.
All right. Well, hopefully I don't see you tomorrow, but make sure you join Julia.
Oh, yikes. Boy.
I guess you can watch. I won't be here,
I
but if you want to watch Julia, go for it.
Julia will be here. Julia in all her glory.
Julia can't wait for tomorrow.
Be careful with those high fives.
Yikes.
Yeah, we don't.
Maybe Purell first.
So, yeah, there's going to be some sort of cleanup situation going on there. But there you go. We had a lady about to give birth. Just sticking with the news.
So you think that's a first? That's a first in Kiefer Madness history.
Do you think she would have been happy with Alex Cora going to a graduation party and missing the game?
She cares about her job.
I'm guessing she would not have been okay with that.
She cares about her job more than Alex Cora cares about his. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Well, that's fine.
That's all I'm saying.
Alex Cora puts his family first. This lady clearly does not. That's
literally
all.
Literally her family. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, her new family. She won't even go.
She hasn't even met yet. She doesn't want to meet her new family.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, that's wild. You know what the text line pointed out?
Maybe
you guys realize this, Billy and Nick. The Where's Keith? The Twitch chat was saying, or maybe the text line was saying, that we could have another Where's Keith moment at the road show in Newport.
I mean, maybe.
So you were missing because...
No, I wasn't missing.
Is this what happened?
There was an early start time to the crossover, and I wasn't there. I was
were you doing?
I was having a drink, like a grown adult. I was minding my own business, and then they're like, hey, we start at 5 or start at 6.
Oh, was this at one of those crossover?
It was either at the Encore or one of the restaurants that we were at. I forget which, when we did those, like, crossover shows.
The guy is drunk.
Well, but I wasn't late. Okay. They make it out to be like I was late.
All right. You were drunk. You weren't late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
like,
that's fine.
Keith,
yeah.
You're going to be on at 5. Yeah. And like 4:50. Like, where is he? Like, well, he's waiting till 5.
That's where he is. So will we have a moment like that?
Possible.
Friday in Newport. Yeah. It's in play.
Yeah, it's obviously.
We're telling you now that's in play. 617-779-7937. That's the Madness. Kiefer Madness. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We got another pair of Red Sox tickets to give away at 1:30. Plus more on WEEI Afternoons. And let's stick with the Red Sox. When are they calling up Roman Anthony? And what do we think of Marcelo Meyer, his debut weekend? We'll get to it next.